right now to worship. This is your moment right now to open up your mouth and speak well of the Father. This is your moment right now to offer him worship with the fruit of your lips. Come on, saints of God. Come on, come on, come on. Offer your worship with the fruit of your lips. Come on, this is not a moment to ask him of anything, but a moment to worship him because he is everything. Come on, open up your mouth this morning. Open your mouth, open your mouth, open your mouth and worship. 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 We don't have the right to remain silent. Open your mouth and worship. Open your mouth and worship. Open your mouth and worship. Worship, 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 worship. Come on, come on, open your mouth, open your mouth, open your mouth, open your mouth, open your mouth. Come on, no one can worship you but me. No one can worship you for me, oh God. No one has done for me what you have done, God, so I owe you worship. God, I owe you praise, God. We owe you adoration. Come on, saints of God, open your mouth, open your mouth, open your mouth. You can find strength in worship. You can find clarity in worship. Come on, open up your mouth. Come on, worship, 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 worship. I'll always. I won't be silent. I won't be silent. Hallelujah. We'll give you the worship. We'll give you the praise, oh God, that you so rightfully deserve, Father. We owe you worship, God. We owe you. We owe you praise. We're behind on giving you worship, Father. We're behind on giving you praise, Father. We didn't thank you for waking us up every day of last week, God. We didn't thank you for our daily bread that you've given us, oh God, from January up until now, God. We owe you worship. We owe you praise, God. Your daily protection, Father. How you look out for us, oh God. And if you don't do anything else, oh God, just for you being God and God all by yourself. We give you worship. We give you worship. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, clap those hands real good. Clap them, clap them, clap them, clap them real good. Now, as you clap your hands, come on, lift your voice like a trumpet. Oh, it's a bad combo together. Clap those hands, all ye people, and shout with the voice of triumph. Like you already got the victory. Hallelujah. 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 Clap your hands, all ye people. Lift your voice. Hallelujah. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Who is the King of glory? The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your hands, lift up your hands, lift up your hands. The everlasting doors have the King, and the King, and the King will come in. Come on, clap your hands, clap your hands, clap your hands. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh my goodness. Grab those Bibles and journey with me to Joshua chapter 14. Oh my. Joshua chapter 14. Oh my gosh. Lift up your heads. Lift up your heads. Lift up your heads. Hallelujah. Worthy is your name, O God. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Joshua chapter 14, verses 10 through 13. If you can stand for the reading and reverence of God's word, we greatly appreciate it. If you can't stand, amen, we understand. I'm a rapper, look at that. Hey, if you can't stand, we understand. Amen, 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 amen. I'm dropping an hour of the diet. I'm just going to record that one phrase. That's all I got. I ain't got nothing else. Amen. Hey, man, if you can't stand, we understand it. That stuff. Look at God at 24. Amen. Any day now. I told you I was going to sing. Amen. But I'm going to rap instead. Joshua 14. Amen. 10 through 13. Joshua 14. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. And it reads as this. Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well as he promised for all these 45 years since Moses made his promise. Even while Israel wandered in the wilderness, today I am 85 years old. But the fact is, I'm as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So let me read this from the New King James Version. I'm sorry, I was sending y'all off, amen, reading a different verse. Let me start over. Now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old, as yet as I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, for both going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard that in the day of Achim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. I need you to turn to somebody this morning and say, neighbor, forgive me if this sounds arrogant. But the truth of the matter is, I want what's mine. Turn to your neighbor on your other side and say, neighbor, I apologize if this sounds cocky. But the truth is, I want what's mine. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. I want what's mine. God, we thank you. God, we praise you. God, we magnify you. God, we lift you up. Because you are great and you are greatly to be praised. And God, truth is, there is nobody quite like you. And so we give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise. And it's in the strong name of Jesus we pray. And all of God's people say, as you're taking your seat, find somebody else around you and tell them, I want what's mine. I want what's mine. I want what's mine. I want what's mine. I want what is mine. I am excited about this season in the life of our church and what God is doing. And simply what God is doing is revealing himself through prayer and his word. God is revealing himself as we have been coming together over the past month in corporate prayer. We are seeing God perform miracles, signs, and wonders right in our midst. I wish I had some help this morning, amen, that's been with me on the journey. So let me try this again. I'm excited about this period, this season in the life of our church as we are experiencing revival. And when I say revival, I'm not talking about a five-night service where we have the same preacher every week, but I'm talking about a revival that we are experiencing through the word of God and through prayer. I believe that what God desires to do in the life of the believer is not going to be birthed through some conference that you go to, but it's going to be birthed through prayer. And when I say prayer, I'm not talking about some cute little prayer that you may give and it sounds good, but I'm talking about real and raw prayer that we are coming after God with indeed true desperation and recognizing the fact that God, if you don't do it, it is not going to be done. God, if you don't answer, I don't know what I'm going to do. God, if you don't show up, God, I know all that's going to be doom and failure. But coming to him not just with desperation in prayer, but coming to God in prayer with an attitude of knowing that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask, think, wish, or imagine. Let me say it again to make sure I'm in the right church, because I don't feel like I'm in Hopewell this morning. Amen. But that we're coming to him not just in total desperation, but we're also coming to him with anticipation and expectation, not based off of feelings, not based off of emotions, but based off of the word of God. Some may say we stand on business, but we're standing on the word of God that says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask, think, dream, or imagine, according to the power that works on the inside of us. I'm excited about what we are seeing. We are experiencing God healing people, that tumors are drying up. Kids that have sickle cell, they go back to the doctor and tests have been ran, and it looks as if they have never. I'm excited about this season, this period in the life of our church, what God is doing through prayer and his word. It's building our faith. And I like the working definition that Dr. Tony Evans gives about faith. He says that faith is acting like something is, so even when it's not, so in order that it might be, simply because God said so. Let me say it again. Faith is acting like something is, even though it may not have fully manifested itself yet, in order that it might become manifested simply because God said. We are building our faith not off of some feelings, not off of some emotions, but we're building our faith off of what God has already promised in his word. And we're seeing the manifestations of it as we're seeking God through prayer. He's revealing himself through his word. I like this story here. In Joshua chapter 14. The story does not just start here in Joshua chapter 14. We're going to get to it. It goes over and starts over in the book of Numbers. But in Joshua 14, 10 through 13, the text that we're reading this morning, it highlights, because it takes a shift from the story being about Joshua, how he has now taken over the reins after his spiritual father Moses, and this shifts from Joshua to highlighting a man by the name of Caleb. Caleb was one of the spies that Moses has sent to go and view out the land that God had promised them, that was going to be flowing with milk and honey. Caleb is one of the guys we're going to get to in just a moment in Numbers chapter 13, that out of the 12 spies, Caleb and Joshua were the only ones that came back with a good report, that despite what they saw, despite what they heard, they stood on the uncompromising promises of God and what God has already said. They were the only two out of the 12 spies that came back with a good report, a report of courage, a report of boldness in saying, Moses, Josh, we can go over, Moses and Aaron, we can go over and capture and get exactly what God said that we could have. Caleb was the one at 45 years old that stood on the promises of God and believe that God could do exactly what he said that he could do. Amen. Caleb is now the same brother that has been waiting 45 years for the full manifestation of experiencing God's promise. We get mad waiting 6 months, 45 years. Caleb has been waiting to experience the full manifestations of God's promise. 45 years he's waited with a good attitude. 45 years he's waited in the right demeanor. 45 years. He's held on to the promises of God, though hearing stuff that did not line up with the promises of God, seeing things that did not line up with the promises of God, he has held on 45 years. I believe Caleb has something to testify and share with us to help us on this journey of faith that we're on.
Now, when I say that, when I came with the title, y'all got amped. I mean, y'all got excited. When I said, that's right, Pastor, I want what's mine. And I want to, I love it that you have that attitude. But I want us to understand and know as well that before we're so quick to claim something, there are some prerequisites that you and I have to have in order to be able to achieve and to obtain and to uphold and to grab what God desires for us to be able to have. And God uses Caleb to be able to teach us something about how to be able to get what's ours. Let's jump right on in, saints of God. Here it is. If we want what's ours, if we want to take what's ours, it requires for us to have a perpetual confidence in God. It takes us to have an unwavering, a discontinuing confidence in God that despite how things may look, despite how things may feel, and despite how things may sound, whatever God said, I'm going to believe it. Whatever God has promised, I'm going to hold on to it. And if that means I have to wait, I will wait on God. If that means I have to wait some years, if it means I have to wait some decades, if it means that while I'm waiting, I may have to go through some stuff, if it means that while I'm waiting on God, He's teaching me how to wait in confidence. I love it. He's teaching him how he's teaching us how to be able to wait in confidence. And Caleb shows us that if we're going to take what's ours, it requires us to have a perpetual, a continual confidence in God. Look at verse 10. I'm not making this up. It's right there in the book. You got to keep your Bibles open here at Whole World, all your phones, because we teach right from the Word of God. Not my opinion, not what I think, not what I feel, but what the Word of God says. It says, now as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and has promised me all these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today, I am 85 years old. He stands here with Joshua and makes the announcement to Joshua, hey, I need to recall something back to your memory that out of all these years, I have been waiting on God. And let me testify, Pastor Joshua. He says, I am more well now as I was 45 years ago. So in other words, Minister Lamb, Caleb testifies and says that all while I've been living for 45 years, God, I may have been getting older, but God has preserved my strength along the journey that has allowed me to be able to stand in confidence of God's ability and what he's able to do in my life. Here it is, saints of God. Having a history of experiences with God helps to uphold our faith in him an extended period of time. Having a history of experiences with God helps uphold our faith in him over an extended period of time. Joshua, Caleb has seen God do some stuff. Caleb has seen God, has experienced God do some amazing things in the life of him and his people. And because of his past experience, he was there when he saw how Moses took the rod and parted the Red Sea and how they were able to walk everybody over on dry ground as water rose up on both sides. He was there when he experienced God feeding them with manna. He experienced them there as they were walking in the wilderness, how God preserved their clothes, that they never outgrew their clothes, but their clothes grew with him. I got a sneaky suspicion that Caleb is not the only one that has some past experiences with God, that if we ever take the time and reflect back to what God has done in our lives over the past year, over the past 5 years, over the past 10 years, if you will ever take the time and just go down memory lane and reflect from the time that you were born all the way up until now, the miracles and the signs and the wonders that you have seen God do in your life, it will cause for some tears to roll down your face. It will cause for your hands to go up. It may even cause you to do a little two-step. It may even cause you to run because you think for a moment that, hey, I've been in trouble before. My back has been up against the wall before. But every time I've been in need, every time I've been in trouble, there's been a God that has shown up on my behalf. Oh, I wish I had some help in here this morning. somebody can testify. I've had my back up against the wall in school. I didn't know how the semester was going to be paid for, but Jehovah Jireh came out of nowhere and provided and opened up. I forget I applied for that scholarship. What do you mean you have extra money? I've had my back up against the wall before, and when my back has been up against the wall, God has been El Shaddai, God Almighty, that has shown up.
Oh, I like how the old church would say, come on, Black History Month. They would sing a song and say, Jesus, I'll never forget what you have done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you bought me out. No, 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 never. How can I forget what he's done for me? How can I forget how he set me free? Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done. Oh, because it's when I reflect back and think what God has done, it fuels my faith, but it gives me longevity and preserves me as I wait. So I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, that you find yourself in the hallway where you're in between blessings and you're waiting on God. And you're getting discouraged in the wait. Don't you waste that hallway experience for nothing. Don't you waste that hallway experience, Erica, and start complaining about what isn't going right and how you thought you was going to be here and how you thought God was going to show up there and you thought he was going to come in around the mountain there and you thought he was going to make a way over that bridge. Don't use the hallway as a moment to whine. Use the hallway as a moment to reflect. Use the hallway as a time to sit down and to contemplate and start going back in the Rolodex of your mind and pull on those experiences and those moments where God has revealed himself strong in your life. What does it do? It fuels my faith. Helps me to persevere, and it helps me to wait on him. Because truth is, if he showed up before, he'll show up again. Truth is, if he made waves before, he's still able to make waves right now. Truth is, if he was able to outdo himself last time, he has all power to be able to supersede himself this time. So I'm going to wait on him. But while I'm waiting, I'm going to reflect and think about my history with God. And reflect upon how he has shown himself strong in my life. I gotta believe, saints of God, that's what Caleb had. He had a perpetual confidence in God, not just in God, but in God's past track record and in what God was able to do in his life before. And he knew that while I am waiting, everything that God has promised me is worth the wait. That everything that God said that he will do for me and how he's going to do it is worth the wait. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's worth the wait. It's worth the wait. It's worth the wait. Don't be weary in well doing. You shall reap if you faint not. It is worth the wait. I know what you may see. I know what you may have heard, but it is worth the wait. Hang in there just a little while longer, and you will see God do just what he said. Having a history of experiences with God helps to uphold our faith in him over an extended period of time. Numbers chapter 13, I want to read that for you real quick. Numbers chapter 13, because something happens here that we want, that I want us, I don't want to rush through this so fast. That's why I love being a pastor. I ain't got to rush. Amen. I could turn this into a 5-week series if necessary. Amen. I'm not going to do that, y'all. We're just going to do what we got to do now. I know y'all already thinking about what you're going to eat and everything, because I'm hungry too. All right, man. All I had was a medium hot cup of coffee, 7 creams, 3 sugars. Amen. From Dunkin' Donuts. But I almost thought that the woman of God put 7 things of sugar in my drink. And I looked at my cup, and that's what she had it written down. I said, hold up. I said, you trying to kill me? She said, no, Pastor, I'm just playing. Yeah, I got the right amount of sugar. I said, okay, I'm just making sure. Numbers chapter 13. Y'all got me out the spirit. Here it is. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, verse 25. It says, after exploring the land, but before we even get there, Joshua sends over some men. Moses sends over some guys over to spy out the land. 12 men, one from each tribe, to go over to spy out the land that God had promised him. He had told them that I'm going to hook you up. I'm going to bring you into a land flowing with milk and honey. So he sends 12 spies over there. And this is the account of what they share. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel and Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit that they had taken from the land. Verse 27, this was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit that it produces. The people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there. The descendants of Anak, the Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan River. But Caleb tries to hush the people. He says, let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can surely conquer it. But the other man who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report along the land amongst the Israelites. The land was we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. Get this. And that's what they thought too. They go, get this, Brother Moses. They go to check out a spot that God has already said is yours. Your job in going in is to see where you're going to put the couch, where you're going to put the pictures at, where your flat screen going to go. What type of towel you want in the kitchen? Their job for 40 days was to go, Mother Ampy, and to scope out the scene. All 12 come back. And they testify, God, everything that you said is true. They said the land is flowing with milk and honey. And the grapes, the clusters of grapes, are absolutely beautiful and amazing. But there are giants there. And because the giants are there, they're bigger than us. They're stronger than us. They can devour us all at once. So we don't need to go and experience the land that God has already said is ours. They said, in fact, the descendants of Anak are there. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And because we felt like grasshoppers, that's how they saw us. Did not say that the descendants of Anak saw them as grasshoppers. They said when we put ourselves up against them, we felt like grasshoppers. And based off of how we perceived ourselves,
That's how they saw us too. 12 people go, scope out the scene. 2 come back. Caleb tries to hush the people to let them know, look at what Caleb says in verse 30. Let's go at once to take the land. He says, we can surely conquer it. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. And that's how the descendants of Anak saw them too. God, I got to ask you a question this morning. What have you been saying about yourself that now the enemy sees you like that now too? What have you been speaking over yourself that now you have helped the adversary to say, well, I never thought that you was ugly, but now that you think that you ugly. Oh, I never thought that, yeah, that you grew. I never thought that you had low self-esteem, but now that you think low about yourself, let me go ahead and play with your mind and cause you to think lower about yourself and tell yourself that you don't deserve to receive the blessings from God. What have you been saying to yourself that now you have given the enemy an open door to add on top of that? What have you been speaking over yourself? What have you been speaking over your kids? What have you been speaking over your spouse? What have you been speaking over your boyfriend or your girlfriend? What have you been saying about your friends? They never thought about it until you said it. And so now, based off of what they said, now they believe this about themselves. But based off of what you said, what have you been speaking over your life? Oh, man, I guess I'm always struggle. Oh, man, I'm always be like this. Oh, man, I'm always have to go through. What have you been speaking? Words have, the Bible says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. What have you been saying over yourself? And what have you been allowing people to speak over you? What TikTok evangelism got in your head now? What access have you given people to have a voice in your life that should not have a voice in your life? Oh, 12 spies go over there. 10 see, this is something that we can't do. They're bigger than us, the giants. They've been equipped and ready for war. We're not ready to be able to take this. Mind you, despite what they may have saw, despite what they may have heard, God told them, the land is yours. So despite who's there, despite what they may say, despite what may be going on, God, the Creator, has said, the land is yours. 10 to 12 to go, 10 with a bad report, and 2 come back and say that we're able, more than well able, to do it. They had to be Baptists because they went with the majority. And the majority of them were 10, and the 10 won, and they did not go into the land that God had promised them. Go to Numbers chapter 14. Y'all got to see this. Y'all got to see this because this is so powerful, saints of God, because sometimes what we do, we are, thank you, Holy Spirit, sometimes what happens is we are excited about what God has shown us. We are excited about what God is about to do in our lives, and we make the mistake. is sharing with the wrong people that are small-minded and have no faith or trust in God, the big things that God wants to do in our lives, and we share it with small-minded people. And they will attempt to kill the dream inside with their words. Look at Numbers chapter 14. This is so powerful, y'all. This is so powerful. Then the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness, they complained. Why is the Lord taking us from this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as a plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Then they plotted out amongst themselves, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. Oh, God. I know they were Baptists. Then Moses and Aaron fell face on the ground before the whole community of Israel. Two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jehovah, tore their clothes. They said to all the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into the land. He will give us its rich and its flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel. Do not rebel against the Lord. And don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are all helpless. Pray to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. But the whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to all of Israel at the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? Will they never believe me even after all the miraculous signs I've done among them? I will disown them and destroy them with the plague. And then I will make you into a great nation, and I will make you into a nation greater and mightier than they are. The folks get to talking. They want to vote Joshua and Moses out. In fact, they want to stone them to death publicly in front of everybody. They're saying, you could have left us in Egypt as slaves, never experiencing freedom, and we could have stayed there. He said, in fact, we could have died right here in the wilderness. Smack dab in the face of what God has promised. They said, we could have died in the wilderness. They raised their voices up. Moses and Joshua was overwhelmed emotionally about what's going on. God rises up and says, how long are you going to let these people disrespect me? How long, thank you, Holy Spirit, are you going to allow these negative voices to be louder than my promises? He says, how long are you going to allow their fear to be louder than my promise? How long are you going to allow for their negativity to be louder than my promise? They wandered in the wilderness for 38 more years until that entire generation died. And God preserved Joshua and Caleb, because they believed in what God has said. They believed. How long are you going to allow fear to be louder than God's promise over your life? How long will you turn the volume up on everybody else's voice and opinion more than you do what God has promised? How long will you stay stuck where you are? Not because God isn't able, but because you refuse to believe what God has said, despite what your eyes have seen. entire generation dies. He said, hey, I'll fix this. Y'all don't want to lay hold to what I promised and what I said? 38 more years in the wilderness. And when it comes time to exit, all y'all jokers ain't coming out. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I believe sometimes we have to know when to give the benediction. I think every now and then it's okay for us to give the benediction and let fear know, you know what, you didn't have me a little bit too long. I stayed here a little longer than what I had anticipated. But we about to break up. We're going to stop going together. We're about to break up. And I'm going to enter into and walk in every promise that God has for me. I'm gonna have to disconnect with people that you ain't got no faith. Listen, come to church and we can help you to build your faith. But I cannot hang around you and you keep talking faithless on you and you're scared and you're nervous and no. I love you with the love of Jesus, but I need to walk into every promise, everything that God, and I want to walk into it boldly and unashamedly. I want to walk in everything that God has said that I can have, and I gotta stay clear of people and folks and friends and family that will try to cause me to stop believing and trusting God. I will see you later. Adios, amigos. Because I'm walking into everything that God says I can have. Tell your nation, generation dies. But God preserves Joshua and Caleb. All because they saw it God's way. Jesus Christ, help me this morning. He preserves their lives. All because they saw what God saw. And they had perpetual confidence in God that he was going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. I got to hurry up in here. Listen, if we're going to get what's ours, it's not just enough for us to have a perpetual confidence in God. But here's the second thing, saints of God. Listen, we have to have an unwavering resilience. Oh, man, we got to have unwavering resilience. I'm nervous about this generation because the generation that we have now that are rising up, they have no grit. They have no bounce back. They have no tough skin. They have no thick skin to be able to wrestle through life and still stand up in life at the same time. Caleb demonstrates to us that in order for us to be able to lay hold to what's ours, it takes an unwavering resilience. What is resilience, Pastor? I'm sorry that you're thinking about that this morning. Resilience is the ability to be able to bounce back from tough times by staying mentally strong and flexible. Oh, listen, because Caleb is having to deal with these people. Caleb is having to be in an environment with people that are negative and they cannot see what God is seeing. He's seeing everything that God is able to see, but he's around people. He's having to deal with stuff around him and yet still have confidence in God and yet still have faith in God and yet still stay emotionally and mentally and physically capable of walking into everything that God has promised him that he will have in his life. Caleb had to demonstrate resilience. Because here it is, sense of God, truth be told, resilience is not something that you can pick up and put down when you feel like it. Oh, gosh, I wish I had some help in here today. Resilience is not something that you can pick down and pick up when you feel. Resilience is something that you don't even know what your day, what lies ahead in your day. You don't know what lies ahead in your week. You don't know what lies ahead in your month. And you have to wake up with a level of resilience in knowing I got to be ready to fight today because I don't know what's coming my way. I don't know what's coming up. But in the midst of me fighting, I still got to be a caring mother. I still got to be a father. I still gotta work. I still gotta cook. I have to be able to be resilient no matter what, because the truth of the matter is giving up and quitting is not an option. I've come too far. I've seen God to do too much for me to stop right here. I gotta keep on going to see what the end is going to be, and God will give me the grace to be able to stand in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death. God will give me the grace.
I done got happy. I got to be able to bounce back from tough times. I got to be able to bounce back when I hear some news that's it's not what I want to hear. I got to bounce back when I get an email that I wasn't expecting to be able to get. I got to bounce back when I get a phone call that I wasn't expecting to have. I got to bounce back because there's still a journey ahead of me, and I'm going on to see what the end is going to be.
Caleb says, look at it, y'all. Look at verse 11. Caleb says, oh, God, I love it. Caleb said, here's what he said. He said, as yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. In other words, Caleb testifies. He said, though I'm 85 and I've gotten older, God has preserved my strength, but I still have the same strength of a 45-year-old man. 45 years ago, I wish somebody could testify this morning that you know God is one that will preserve you. You know that now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, that you know that God is the one that can preserve you. He can keep you. I mean, he can keep you with vitality. He can keep you with lift. He can keep you with strength. That God is one that can preserve you through every hellish situation that you have gone through. Caleb said, I'm as strong now as I was 45 years ago, and I'm ready to fight now like I was back then. Yeah. Unwavering resilience.
Caleb realized, I know what's there. I know what it all takes, but I know what God has promised.
Okay, I admit to myself, Carrie and Kenny kind of catch me sometimes that I be talking to myself, that, well, Daddy, ain't nobody in the room with you. Daddy, who were you down there in the office talking to? Daddy, who were you down there in the kitchen talking to? I said, baby, I'm just talking to the Lord. I said, because every now and then, I got to be like David. I got to encourage myself. I may not have time to go and text somebody. I may not have time to go and call somebody. I have to remind myself, Chip, we're going to get through this. Chip, we done seen tough times before. Chip, we're going to make it. Listen, God is your helper. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. I have to talk myself up and encourage myself and say, boy, you get on back out there and keep going and keep trusting and keep fighting. Boy, you have come a long way. I'm so proud of you, boy, and what you have done. I have to go and encourage Chip to remind myself to stay in the race and to keep going. And every now and then, says to God, that's what we have to do. We have to remind ourselves. We have to build up our confidence in ourselves and remind ourselves, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God's hand is upon my life. God is using me. God wants to work in my life. You have to talk to yourself.
Caleb said, got the strength now like I did back then. I like what the New Living Translation says. He says, I'm as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey. And I can still travel and fight as well
as I could then. Here's the third thing, saints, that we're going to get out of here. If we want to get what's ours, we got to ask with the big and bold attitude. Man, I wish I could have been there. I wish I could have been there. They all sitting there, and Caleb comes, starts talking to Joshua. Hey, Pastor, you may have forgotten, but 45 years ago, Moses told me that there was a mountain that I was going to be able to have. I know you may have forgotten just in transition of leadership, but it's been 45 years later, sir, and they still haven't gotten that mountain. Let me read to you my resume and testify to you about, you know, all the things that God has done. He done preserved me. Listen, I done seen the whole entire generation die. God has preserved you and I. Now remember Pastor Joshua? We were the only two out of the 12 that came back with a good report saying that we were more than well able to go in and to conquer the land. Yeah, you know that there was those giants there. Anak was there. They had long necks. You know all that stuff. But I still haven't gotten my mountain. He says, I know I'm 85 years old right now, and you know, I might be getting closer to heaven than you are, but I am still more capable, and I have the strength now like I did 45 years ago to go, to travel, to come in, to go out, to fight. So if you don't mind, sir, I would greatly appreciate it if you would give me my mountain. He says, so give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You will remember that as scouts we found the descendants of Anak living there in the great wall towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land just as the Lord said. He says, when we went and spied out the land 45 years ago, the descendants of Anak were there. They had long necks. They had fortified walls. Fortified walls represented that they were ready. They were ready. They were ready for battle. I mean, they had a shield. They had the fortified walls were almost like protection for them to be on the defensive to be able to take out all those that came against them. That's why they said, hey, it's too many of them. We can't do it. We can't take them out. Caleb said, it's 45 years later. And some of the descendants of Anak are still there. He says, but don't let the age fool you. He says, I'm 85, but I'm still ready to fight. But I like the way he ends his request. He says, look at the child. I don't want y'all to miss this. Verse 12. He says, so give me the hill country the Lord has promised me. You will remember that as scouts we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land just as the Lord said. Caleb said, give me my mountain, though I know that the enemy is yet still there. And they still have long necks, and they still have 45 walls. He says, but I realize I'm not going by myself. Oh, y'all missed y'all shout. Lord, have mercy. He said, because the Lord is with me, and if the Lord is with me, he will help me to be able to drive them out. What? Just as he said he would. Saints of God, I want to help us this morning. I want to help us this morning that as we're going to get what's ours, we got to have a big, bold attitude as we're coming and making our requests before God of what we are believing and trusting him to be able to do in our lives and allow us to be able to experience. But don't miss this part right here, saints of God. Our courageous appeals does not erase the obstacles, before us. Rather, it alters our perspectives about them. We just saw it in verse 12. Caleb said, I know. I know Anak is there. He said, but if the Lord is with me, him and I can be able to drive these jokers out. Just like he said that he would. Let me ask this question. Is the Lord with you? Oh, sanctified saints would say, take the Lord along with you everywhere you go. That's what they said. My grandfather called it the sanctified church. That's what they said in the sanctified church. You got to take the Lord along with you everywhere you go. You're going to need him. You're going to need him everywhere you go. That's what they said in the sanctified church doing devotion at the beginning of service. That's what they said. Is the Lord, are you taking the Lord with you? Or are we trying to lay hold of some stuff that we think our credentials, our influence, who we know, who we are? Or do we recognize the fact that I'm going to take that too, but in addition to, if the Lord and I are in this thing together, he would do just what he said that he would do 45 years ago and drive the enemy out. Are we including God in our plans? Or are we trying to lay hold of everything in the flesh and our own abilities and our own capabilities, but failing to realize I got to take the Lord? Because if the Lord, look at what he said, put that verse back up to verse 12. He said, it may be the Lord, if the Lord is with me, I'll be able to drive him out. Joshua answers Caleb's request and gives him the mountain, the hill country, that God had promised him. Back up a little bit and look at verse 8. Joshua chapter 14. Verse 9. Joshua 14 to 9. In the life of Caleb, we see a consistent thread of obedience. We see a consistent thread of faith. We see a consistent thread of trust. And verse 9 sums everything up. It says, so that day Moses solemnly promised me the land of Canaan on which you were just walking with your grant of land, and that your descendants forever. But let me read that again. So that day Moses solemnly promised me the land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land, and that your descendants and that of your descendants forever. Highlight this last part of verse 9. Because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord your God. To sum up this whole thing, saints, we can receive what belongs to us when we have devoted ourselves wholly to following God. And in us wholly following God includes our obedience. In moments, get this, I know y'all been saved all your lives and you have no problem with doing what God says, when God says, how God says it. Includes your obedience when you don't want to be obedient. Or when you think that you can alter God's instructions because your idea may be better than his. Caleb was able to lay hold of everything that God had promised him because he had wholly given himself to following after God. I hate, and we could have ended this and shouted and danced and did all of that, but it would have been a disservice to have us to dance and we've been deliberately disobedient. It would have been a slap in God's face to have us to lay hold of promises that we have intentionally denied giving God space. Caleb was able to walk whole into what God said because he had given himself completely to God. To do what God said, when God said, how God said, despite how he may have felt, despite what he may have thought about it. Good news is this. If we commit all of ourselves to him, if we give all of ourselves to him, we can lay hold of every promise that God has spoken over our lives. If we can wholly give ourselves, and that's through relationship with him, and that my relationship with him is not just for the promises, but I'm going after him because of him. That more than the promises, I need him. I need him more than I need them. More than I need the promises, I need him. More than I need anything, I need him. We're just saying there, he's all that I need. It's in him that I live, move, and have my being. I need him more than I need. The promises may expire. The promises may come with a new upgrade, may become outdated, but my walk and my relationship with him won't. So what are you saying, Reverend? Stop claiming stuff and you haven't been obedient. Stop it. Stop. And I'm not talking about your church attendance. I'm talking about your relationship with him. Stop claiming stuff and you have been living foul. Stop claiming stuff and you have deliberately been disobedient to God. You know, it's like that scene from Lion King when Mufasa got on Simba for going over to the other land, Pride Rock. He said, you have deliberately disobeyed me. He had to remind him. Simba was trying. He was trying to get Mufasa a different perspective of why he did what he said. No. You have deliberately disobeyed me. Stop claiming stuff. Stop talking about what you're walking into and what's yours and what I'm going to have. And you're walking, you're saying one thing, but you walk as if you don't even know God. But you want to claim the promises of God? That's not how it works. Caleb was able to walk into the full manifestation of what God has said 45 years ago. Because in that time frame, year 10, year 20, year 30, year 40, his confidence remained the same. His walk, his devotion remained the same to God. From 45 years old to 85, it remained the same. Look at the life of Caleb and understand that if we devote ourselves wholly to God, there's no good thing that God will withhold from us. He'll preserve you. He'll give you the strength when we give ourselves fully to him. There may be somebody here right now.